This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
The Supreme Court simply made up out of whole cloth a right to kill unborn children. There is no warrant for it in anything in the Constitution.
Institutions, not only in terms of healthcare, but generally, seem to be collapsing. Trust in institutions. And it's not paranoia. Our institutions have failed us repeatedly.
God has not given your children to the public school system or any school system. He has given them to you as a trust from Him. So you have a divine duty to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
So if we had people whose names were on our membership rosters and we were reporting these people as members of our congregations, but they weren't showing up on Sunday morning, we were really creating a paper church versus an actual one on Sunday morning.
Northern Indiana Purple Martin landlords love listening to Issues Etc. while tending their colonies.
The general trend in American Christianity is toward progressivism, but there are a few that swim against the tide or cut against the grain. There are some Christian denominations in the United States that resist the temptation and even sometimes the coercive efforts toward being more progressive, in particular with regard to the sexual revolution. They are exceptions, but they are notable exceptions. The United Methodist Church has, well, it's opted for schism rather than to concede to the LGBTQ agenda. And another on that list, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, a lesser-known Presbyterian church body, recently resisted in their own way. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of July. We're going to talk about the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America. Dr. Carl Truman of Grove City College will be our guest. We'll spend some time with you, our listeners, via our listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, answering questions, comments, and criticism. Joy Pullman of The Federalist will join us to talk about the expanded child care credit. She says it's really just more welfare. And then Pastor Tom Baker is alongside to teach Sunday school lesson on the birth of Jesus according to Luke 2. Joining us to discuss the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, Dr. Carl Truman, professor of biblical and religious studies at Grove City College, author of the book The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, and a recent column for First Things titled At the PCA General Assembly, The Little Guys Stood Up. Dr. Truman, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us first about this group within the Presbyterian Church in America called Revoice.
Sure. Well, it's not actually within the Presbyterian Church of America. It's a separate body. It's essentially a conference. Listeners can check out its website. It's revoice.us. And it described its mission as this: to support and encourage gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other same-sex attracted Christians, as well as those who love them, so that all in the church might be empowered to live in gospel unity while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. And essentially what it is it's a conference where same-sex attracted Christians and their supporters can gather together. And it has sort of two distinctives, I think. On the one hand, it's willing to affirm the legitimacy of gay as an identity label. On the other hand, it also wishes to maintain the traditional Christian understanding of sex and marriage. So we might say that it's a body for the support of those who would regard themselves as celibate gay Christians. And it's received pretty vocal support from some high-profile figures in the PCA, particularly our pastor in St. Louis, Reverend Greg Johnson. And so it's become an issue in the PCA because really that question of to what extent is it legitimate for a Christian to self-identify as gay. It's become an issue of the specific identificational label. And at this General Assembly, that was the central bone of contention, one might say.
What was it that they were asking of the Presbyterian Church in America?
Well, essentially, the Revoice advocates want it. It's a sort of it's a fine distinction, one might say, but essentially, they want to be able to say that same-sex attraction in and of itself is not sinful. And at least some of them would want to argue that the label gay Christian is legitimate. Now, I think it would be fair to say none of their opponents in the PCA would say that it's impossible for a Christian to struggle with same-sex attraction. Clearly, there are many Christians who struggle with all manner of sinful desires, some of which are those relating to homosexuality. The question is that desire in itself sinful? Does it need to be put to death, to use New Testament language? Or is it something that can be somehow celebrated or parlayed into something good and positive? And I think that's where the dividing line is in the PCA.
So what is the PCA's history in dealing with advocates of the sexual revolution and LGBTQ activism?
Well, certainly right up until now, the traditional position has been marriage is between one man and one woman, and that homosexuality is sinful and something that is to be mortified by the believer experiencing those temptations. I think what Revoice has done is, by introducing some fairly fine distinctions, has attempted to, I would say, get around the traditional teaching or mitigate the traditional teaching in ways that certainly the advocates of Revoice see as pastorally helpful and their opponents see as dangerously confusing.
What did the PCA then decide to do at its General Assembly in response to this request from groups like Revoice?
Well, it passed two resolutions, and the critical one is the one that says it is not legitimate for a candidate for the ministry to identify as gay. Now, what it's not saying is that nobody struggling with same-sex attraction can go forward for the ministry. What it's saying is anybody who identifies themselves by that attraction or sees gay as a legitimate label for a Christian to affirm of themselves, that person's basic understanding of sexuality and of their own condition is such that they should not be allowed to hold, to go forward for ordained office within the PCA.
How did these decisions contrast with the activist voices in the PCA, especially online?
Well, certainly online there was much outrage about this decision, and I think one of the key thing, again, to go back to what I've said already, is the key issue is the label gay legitimate? I think that's the nub of the issue. And clearly the activists wanted some kind of concession or wanted some sort of legitimacy granted to that label that the General Assembly has certainly at this point rejected. Now, we need to be careful here. Of course, the PCA, when the General Assembly passes something like this, it's a change to the book. It's a proposed change to the Book of Church Order, the rules that govern the church. That then goes back to the presbyteries, to the regional governing bodies of the church, and needs to pass, be approved by two-thirds of those in order for it to go back to the General Assembly next year for a vote that will be then be by simple majority. So the PCA at this point has not changed, not clarified its position. It's in process of doing that. And I think what we're seeing is the hard pushback against that proposed change by the activists centering around to what extent can we describe gay as a legitimate label for a Christian to self-identify by.
With that said, Dr. Truman, you say that the leadership of denominations like the PCA are out of touch with the grassroots. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think if you take your cue in terms of what the church is thinking by reading the stuff online, by reading the stuff by the ministers who are tech savvy, by reading the stuff from the ministers of big churches that have a large internet presence, you would have imagined going into this PCA General Assembly that the progressives were going to win, or if their opponents won, it would be by the slimmest of majorities. In actual fact, it was a huge majority for the opponents of the progressives. And that indicates to me that what goes on in Twitter world and the world of the web that is dominated by these social media savvy pastors is not actually representative of what's going on at the grassroots in the church. You're dealing, if you like, with an elite that is I think playing to the tastes, the predilections of the broader culture, and detaching itself, perhaps unconsciously, from the concerns, the desires, the convictions of the grassroots in the denomination.
What do you mean when you say that the little guys stood up at the PCA General Assembly?
Well, that was a quotation from one of the commissioners that I spoke to as I was putting together the article. And I think it reflects exactly what I just said in my answer to the previous question. The little guys, the anonymous guys, the guys you never hear from, they're the guys who stood up and registered their votes. And a proportion of them, of course, would be what in Presbyterianism we call ruling elders. These are non-full-time ordained men. They help to rule, govern the local church. It seems that a significant number of them voted for the proposals as well. Again, they would typically, I think, be more in touch with the grassroots, precisely because there is a sense in which they are the grassroots in a way that the professional clergy perhaps are not.
Where do the seminaries in the PCA appear to stand on these issues?
Well, there's only one official PCA seminary, and that's Covenant Seminary in St. Louis. And St. Louis, interestingly enough, is the sort of the center of Revoice. Revoice is based in St. Louis. It certainly seems that the sounds that have come from Covenant Seminary over the last few years have tilted towards the more progressive side in this debate. I hesitate to say that's where the seminary is, but certainly that's the reputation. It's been tilting that way. In terms of the other seminaries, the independent seminaries that supply the PCA with its pastors, those like Westminster and Philadelphia or RTS that perhaps have a plurality of PCA students on their campuses, it's more difficult to tell because they have yet to declare themselves on this issue. I hope that they will declare themselves on the traditionalist side of things. But I do think it's important that seminaries give clarity on this soon so that the church as a body and individuals going to train for the ministry know whether what they're paying top dollar to be taught is going to get them into trouble when they come before their presbyteries for examination for licensure and ordination.
You say that the seminaries that feed the PCA do need to speak up. Why is that?
Yeah, again, I think it's precisely because we need to know where they stand. They are going to be shaping the next generation of pastors and ministers. This is a critical issue, not only within the church, but in the wider culture. Typically, in conservative Protestant seminaries, the issues have been things like the authority of Scripture and justification by grace through faith. Those kind of issues are the ones that are the bread and butter of Protestant seminaries. But we're now in a new situation where ethics, things that 30 years ago would have been taken for granted, ethical positions are now highly contested. And I think clarity and clear thinking is required by the church on those issues. And that means that the seminaries need to step up and indicate where they stand and what kind of teaching, what kind of grounding they're going to be giving candidates for the ministry in the coming years.
Dr. Carl Truman is professor of biblical and religious studies at Grove City College. He's author of the book The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self and a recent column for First Things titled At the PCA General Assembly, The Little Guys Stood Up. You can read it and purchase Dr. Truman's new book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Truman, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll be with our listeners on the other side of the break. We'll be going through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
It's at Crucem's annual Christmas in July sale. Pick up that set of Christmons you've always had your eye on, or check out our stunning new Agnes Day Christian flag. Our Christmon sets are less 30%, whilst most other items are reduced by 20%. Use checkout code Christmas in July to receive the discount. To find out more, call us on 720-437-1104 or visit our website, adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.